So many times in religion, we reflect to the church as being a place or a building, and we contribute to the establishment of that through our resources. But God wants a living house where we become the material, where we present ourselves to Him, and He builds with us. So we spoke about that. And then we also looked at the fact that this spiritual house is meant to be something in this world, that we are literally chosen, called from this world to become a holy priesthood. We are called out of this world. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 said, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." So we are chosen. You are chosen out of this world. Out of this world. We look at this word chosen in Greek literally means that you've been picked out of to be something different. So we've been picked out of the world as we are congregate here together, congregation, as a congregation, as people congregating together. We are a chosen people, a holy nation. We are different to the world. We've literally been picked out of the world to be something different. And that something different is to be a holy priesthood. And we spoke about this. What does it mean what God has called us to? We looked at what it means to be holy. And holy is not just something that is pure morally and physically, but it's something that has been consecrated. And that as a people of God, we have been handpicked out of the world and we have been consecrated to be holy. And so many times in religion, the order is the other way around, that you must first live a holy life before you can be consecrated. But God says, "I've already chosen you. I've already declared you holy. Therefore, live as if you are." So we live holy lives because we are consecrated to God. We don't live holy guys so that we can be consecrated. He is already consecrated through His Son and His sacrifice. He has already declared us holy, consecrated, belonging to Him. So therefore, we live holy lives because we are consecrated. So we've been called out of this world to be different in the way we live our lives, to reflect who He is in this world so that He can be glorified. We sang it so beautifully. So that is where we left off, and I want to continue with God's house, which is the church, and what it is and how to build it. And we're looking at God's picture of church. How does God see church? What is His desire? Not man's desire, not an institution or a denomination or a creed. It's about what is God's heart for church, and how can we build His church? I don't want to build someone else's church. I want to build His church. And I want to know what that is so that I can build what He wants and not what man wants. And God's view of church is a glorious people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It is a people that is defined by love, love for God and love for each other, that is reflected into this world in such a way that it reflects Him. That is God's heart. So Ephesians chapter 1, I want us to look at the body of Christ. When we look at the church, we look at the fact that it is a spiritual house. And one of the pictures that the Bible uses about the church is called the body of Christ. And I want us just to explore that for a moment. Here in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 22, "And God placed all things under His feet, that is Jesus, and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." Now that's so beautiful. Not only do we know that Christ is the head of the church and that the church is His body, we know that so well as Christians, but here's something so powerful in this verse when we pursue this vision of church. It says, "The fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." And that is where we're going this year. We want the fullness of Christ to fill everything that we do together in every way. That's our vision. We want Christ to be Himself completely in everything that we do, so that He can be glorified through everything that we do. So that's the journey that we're on. Again, we see here church is revealed not as a lifeless structure, but as a living structure, which is the body, which we know so well. And through education, we're all exposed to the miracle and the wonder of the physical body. Jesus speaks about church not being a dead building of dead bricks and mortars, but living stones, which in the same way is structured as in a building. Everyone has his place in its order, within its purpose. He also likens us to a body that has different parts, yet it's not dead. It's not a dead structure, it's a living structure. And yes, religion is many times dead because of its structure, but Christ's heart is that we will be alive in our structure. So structure is not the problem. It is who is filling the structure that is. So God calls us as a body with different members. It's such a beautiful metaphor. That we together are different. And you know what is the amazing thing is? We are all meant to be different. God didn't design us to be all like me. Or all like Yaku, or all like Mario, or all like anybody. He wants us to become more like his son, but he's made us uniquely different so that we can function together. So we are uniquely different, so you can relax. You don't have to try to be anybody else. As a matter of fact, I want to declare to you, God wants you to be you. Because he made you uniquely different. As a matter of fact, not a single person in this world has the same fingerprints. You don't have the same eyes. As a matter of fact, technology has discovered that they can even identify you like we used to through fingerprints, uniquely different, and DNA. You can be identified by the way you walk. You can't copy me. It's amazing. God designed us uniquely different. You know what's the saddest thing in church when everybody tries to be like somebody else in church? God didn't design you to be like that. He designed you uniquely different. And he placed within you his character in a unique combination, so that you can be you. And not only did he do that on purpose, because he loves things being unique, he wants us to work together. That's why he didn't give us all the same gifts. He gave us different gifts in different combinations so that we need each other and that we can work together. That's really been God's heart right from the start. So, the body of Christ, like all bodies, is comprised of many parts. There are limbs, organs, and various members that, when left alone, are useless. If I take my heart out of my body, it's not going to help me, is it? My hand chopped off on its own has no purpose. So too, we are meant to work together, and on our own, separate from the body, our value becomes diminished. It is when we are together that the fullness of the purpose of which God created us come to its full fruition. And that is so beautiful. When we are assembled together, we make up an entire body, and that means each and every one of us has a unique purpose in the body of Christ. God has made you the way you are to fulfill a specific role within his body. That's what 1 Corinthians teaches us, verse 12, that we know so well, and I don't have enough time to go through the whole chapter, which is so beautiful in putting it in this way, but I'm going to cut short. The body is a unit. Though it is made out of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So is it with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. We were all given to drink the same Spirit. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So we are different, and we are many. This means that each Christian has an equal part in the body of Christ. Every Christian possesses a gift that God has given us. And the very purpose of that is that we must use it. One of the saddest things in church is people that are in the body, but they're not functioning in their gifting. And God has given us unique gifts to be part of one another, interdependent of one another, but he has given those gifts that we may use it. In his service within the body, to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen the body, so that we together can carry out the purpose of this body. This is what I love about a house. It's not a rubble of stones that randomly fell together. No, there is a structure, there is a plan, there is a purpose in every room. I'm building my own house at the moment, and what a privilege it is to structure and to plan the purpose of every room. When you come to my house now, it is just an empty shell. But if I walk with you, I can tell you this will be a bathroom. You can't see it yet, but there is a plan. And this will be a bedroom. And this is where the kitchen will be. But every room has its purpose, so does every organ in our bodies. It is designed with a purpose. In 1 Peter 4, we read, as each of you received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? We've all been given gifts, and God says, I want you to use it. Whether it's to speak or to serve, use it in such a way that I am glorified. So we have been uniquely gifted, placed together, chosen out of the world to be together, to function together. So I want to encourage you to do that. Each member of the body of Christ is also called to serve the church through his gifts and abilities. According to the different grace, the varied grace is so beautiful. God has given, through his grace, us different things. He has empowered us with different gifts. This service, this using this gift, we offer not as unto man, not to as unto the church or the leadership. It is unto Christ. It is to Him we serve. We acknowledge that He is the one that saved us out of the world. He is the one that has placed us together. He is the one that has gifted us by His grace. And He is the one that enables us to use that gift so that He can be glorified. So when we serve and how we serve is not to be seen by man. It is to be seen by God. So that through our service to Him, man may be glorified, God may be glorified through the works we do. So, we are not only living stones. We are not only the material that God builds with. We are the ones that present ourselves to Him. We are consecrated to Him. So not only do I come to Him as a living stone and say, God, here I am. All of me. All the gifts and the abilities and the talents you've given me, God, I present myself to you. God, I consecrate myself to you. It's so powerful to see that He also enables us through His grace to do what He has given us to do, to serve with the gifts that He has given us. So we come to Him and we present ourselves to Him, and He enables us through His grace to do exactly what He has called us according to His purpose. Now listen to Romans 12. We read it before. I want to read from verse 1 to 8 because we know the first two verses so well, and I've mentioned it in my first part. But yet Paul speaks to us in response to the great salvation that we have received, the great grace that is upon our lives to be saved. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Do you see that? By God's grace, I was given something not to give, to think more of myself than I ought to, but within the context of what God has given me. Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Isn't that beautiful? Scripture repeats itself over and over in the same thing. And then listen to this. Having gifts that differs according to the grace given to us, let us use them. By God's grace, you were empowered with a gift. And God encourages us to use it. If prophecy, in the proportion to your faith, if service, in our servicing, the one who teach, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Do you see that? It's so beautiful. God has given to each one through his grace nothing that you deserved, but he has given to you. And he's enabled you through that same grace to live it. And God is saying, come on, live it. Live it. You know, grace is not just an attitude of God towards us. It is an enablement of God through us. Amen. And God has given you enough grace to be who he wants you, who he designs you to be. You must just choose to be. There is enough for that. So we are given different gifts. Therefore, we are dependent on one another. Thus, everyone has a role to play. And that is the purpose of a body, of a building. It has a function. And that's what I love about our body. I'm an athlete, so I love training to become better at a particular function. And in my case, that is to cycle. And sometimes that's just to be dumb and crazy going very fast down a mountain, which takes less skill and more brains, or less brains and more skill. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I just close my eyes and pray. But nevertheless, as an athlete, I have to train a lot to become better. And it's amazing about the body, that the body has a particular function. But you know what happens if we do not do anything with our body? It deteriorates. But if we start to exercise our body, we become healthier, don't we? And that's another sermon for another time. But you know what? There are many churches that are fat and overweight and are immobile because they no longer do anything. They just sit at home on a Sunday and listen. But that's not how we're meant to be. As a body, we're meant to be part of one another, interacting with one another, using the gift that God has given us. And you know what happens? The more you use it, the better you become at it. And not only do you become better at it, you become more healthy. And that's why a church needs to have an outward focus. Because if we only have an inward focus, we become spiritually fat and ineffective. Because we only eat and we never act. And that's why it's so important also where we're going this year, and we've been continuing to go, is to how do we mobilize to not just receive, but to actually to start to give, to actually start to function in what God has given us. Because so many times we come to church to receive more and more and more and more. If we don't exercise it, it doesn't ever come to its fullness. And that's what I love about cycling. You know what? I haven't been cycled now for 5 months, I must confess, because I'm building the house and I can't do the church, the family, house, and the sports. So something had to go. But you know what happens when I get on my bicycle every now and then? It is very painful. Very painful. Behind. Now, I used to sit hours and hours on the saddle as hard as the floor, because the harder your saddle is, the more comfortable it is, believe it or not. But only if you use it enough times. So every time I get onto the bike, I think to myself after a half an hour, why do people do this? Because it's so painful. I know you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't cycled for a while, it's really uncomfortable and very painful. But if you push through and you continue to do that, you know, after 2 weeks, you no longer feel anything. I don't know whether it's the nerves that die or what happens. But all of a sudden, the more you train, the hill that used to kill you becomes a joy. Later on, when you see a hill, you see, you can't wait. You see, I'm a good climber. So now, initially, I know whenever I have to start training, I know it's going to be absolute torture to get up this hill, and pain and suffering. But the more you do it, the better you get. And later on, you get to the point that you can't wait to see a hill. Because you know, I'm going to take this hill apart. And there's nothing greater than to come to that hill and know, you know what? I did it. And I can do it again. That only comes through exercise. So too in our spiritual life, you know what? God has given us gifts that we must exercise. And initially it might be painful to get into the rhythm, but the more you do it, the better you get to it. And later on it becomes an absolute joy. Yes, amen. So too with church. Yes, we all have gifts. We're meant to work together. Let's exercise that. You know what? There's nothing more frustrating in this body of mine, and I love it. The more I exercise, and because I'm an athlete, I am just an absolute wonder how the body adapts and builds and improves itself. And then hard work becomes joy as you continue in it. But there's nothing more frustrating if you want to do something and you have a part of your body that just doesn't want to do anything. So everybody wants to go somewhere, but this thing just doesn't want to do what it's meant to do. Have you ever had that? I once pinched a nerve in my back after a very long race. I think the first one was the Trans Alps, and the second time it happened was after the Epic. Fortunately, it was after the race. But I pinched a nerve, and I was paralyzed for a day. I couldn't walk. First of all, filled with fear, because all of a sudden my legs don't want to work. But you know how frustrating it is? When you're top fit and you want to go for a ride, but you cannot walk. It's very frustrating. And sometimes in the body of Christ, you know, we've got so many different members that have to work together. But then sometimes you just have an arm that just does not function. And it becomes very frustrating because you want to go somewhere, but this arm just doesn't do anything. And then you need to encourage the arm and start little movements and do little stretches, and slowly but surely, life comes back into it and it starts to function. And then all of a sudden, when both arms start to work, you become more effective at what you do. And all of a sudden, it becomes a joy. Amen. So we all have something to contribute. And sometimes you have an organ of the body that you're wanting to do something, but it keeps on wanting to do something different. Have you had that? Like an onwillekeurige ding. Have you seen that before? You know, you're busy writing, then all of a sudden your hand does this. You're busy writing, then it does this. It's very frustrating, isn't it? I hope you don't have a symptom like that. If you do, we can pray for you. No, I'm serious. God heals. But it's very frustrating when you have a part of the body that keeps on wanting to do something different. Because then you can't again be effective in what you purpose to do. So being part of a body means we have a responsibility not just to be who God called us to, but to be together who God called us to. So that together we can go in a direction. So that's where we're going this year. We want to start to function. Like I always say, I want to see the gift that God has placed in you. I always get excited when new people join us, because I know within them is a gift that God is adding to us for a purpose, because we need you. And it's my greatest joy, and that's why we do so much in Bible school and encounters and foundations and small groups, everything. It's all about finding the on button. You know, when you get a gift and it's an electronic device, the first thing you want to do today, you don't need to charge it anymore. It's already like half charged. You can just switch it on. And that's the greatest joy in church, is to see how people get switched on and they start to function in what they meant to be. And that's really why we do all these things, is to find the on button and to see you run. And that's what we're all about. So we want to find that. We are meant to be different in function, but not in the different in direction. We're meant to go in the same way. Different as we are, working together, but going in the same way. And we are not all meant to be clones of one another either. But we are meant to work together. And that's 1 Corinthians 12. You can read it so beautifully, where it says, you know what? All the parts are not an eye, and all the parts are not a nose. And because you're not an eye, you can't say you have no need of the nose. And because you're a nose and not an eye, you can't say the body doesn't need you. You can't do that. You're not meant to be all eyes, because if you're all eyes, where would be the smelling? So we're not all meant to be the same. But we do need each other, very importantly. So we need diversity, but we're all meant to contribute. Because we are living stones. We are a living body. We are alive, not dead stones. We are not dead stones. The church is not built of dead stones. It's built of living stones. Alive. Different, unique. In every different way you can imagine. But we're meant to be alive, not dead. And then we're meant to function. Not passively, but actively. With our different gifts. So my question this morning is, how are you contributing? If you're part of God's kingdom, and He's placed you and you presented, you've consecrated, we've gone through these steps over the week. We've consecrated ourselves to God as a living stone and say, God, here I am. Use me. This morning I believe the question is, how are you being used? How are you contributing? And it's not just what are you contributing, it is how are you contributing. The first question we need to answer is very important. Romans 12, verse 6, remember we said, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If it is prophecy, do it in the proportion of your faith, but if you have the gift, then you must use it. If it is service, then in our servicing, then use it. If it is teaching, in his teaching. If it's the one who exhorts, in exhortation. If it's one who contributes, in generosity. If it's one who leads with zeal, if one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Do you see that? It's two things. It's not just what are you doing, but how are you doing it? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And it's not just in the money that we give, it's in everything that we give. So God wants you not just to be the gift in the church, find your place and function, but He wants you to do it in an attitude of cheerfulness, of joy, so that in being, we reflect Him. Naomi shared very long, but powerful, about the heart of giving. It's meant to be a reflection. So in the way we give, it's not we are compelled. That's what, let's read that portion that we know so well. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, it says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you shouldn't do something because you are expected to or demanded from. No, you should do something because you want to. Amen. Out of a response of who God has made you and has given you salvation, you say, God, I want to build your house. Here I am, use me, God. In whichever way you choose, with the gifts that you've given me, God, I want to be a living stone in your hand. So use me, Lord. And that becomes an act of worship. That's why Paul starts with Romans. He says, listen here, this is your reasonable response. This translation I read, what your spiritual act is to give yourself as a living sacrifice. So use me, Lord. So let's do that in a cheerful manner. So before you start to activate yourself, we need to come to the principle. And that is really, whose house are you building? Are you only building your own house? Or are you building somebody else's house? Or are you willing to build God's house? Now, God is not expecting, listen to me carefully, us to be a conduit. That we take resources from one place and channel it to another place. He wants you. He wants you. He wants your heart, your passion. He wants you. He wants you to be you. If that involves your gifting to channel, then channel. If it involves your gifting to teach, then teach. To prophesy, to serve, to give, whatever it is. God wants you. But my question this morning, I believe God is laying on my heart to ask all of us, is simply this: whose house are you building? Are you building me a house or are you building your house? Whose house are you building? Because God wants to build with you and me. But he cannot unless we come to that point where we say, God, I want to build your house. Here I am. I will be the living stone. Place me where you want to. And I will be wherever that is. If you want me to be a foot, Lord, I will be the best foot there is for you. If you want me to be an eye, God, I will be the eye. But the question this morning is, whose house are you building? So will you consider this morning to build God's house with us? Because that is why we're here. Chosen out of the world. To be something different in the world. To reflect Him. Will you consider that? Will you consider, as you are busy in life and building your own house and other people's houses, and we know how life goes, but in the mix of all the realities amongst us, are you willing to consider to build God's house in this world? God doesn't expect us to be out of this world. We're in the world and we have to earn money and we have to live, and there's realities. The question is, are you willing to build His house in the midst of all the other things? Are you willing to present yourself to Him? That is why we've been handpicked. That is why you've been handpicked. Through God's grace revealed His love and His sacrifice to you. And without His grace, we would not even have been saved if He didn't reveal Himself to you. And we've been given the choice to either respond or to reject this great grace that He's given us through His Son. And that choice still remains with us every day. The day we said, God, I give you my life. Will you continue to do that? Will you continue to say, God, here I am. I'm willing to be used by you. I want to build your house with me. Use me. So how are we going to do that? The last slide, and then I'm going to end. There we go. Practically, how are we going to do that? First of all, you need to identify your gift. God has given you not one gift, more than one gift, combination of gifts. But God has given you and me gifts. The first step to being a successful stone, a living stone. You know what? The Word of God, and I'll get to that some other Sunday. It says, in a house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Some that you can use and some you can't use. One of my earlier prayers as a young believer says, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor in your house. To be prepared for every good work. In whichever way you choose to use me. God, I want to be in your tool bag. I don't care how you use me and when you use me. But if you have something you want to do, I'm there, Lord. Amen. Pick me. I'm ready, Lord. So the first way to get to that place is we need to identify the gift that God has given to you. And you can do that by simply asking God and the people around you. Because the people that know you, they will be able to tell you what is your gifts. What are your abilities and your strengths that God has endowed you with. And then there's spiritual gifts that God adds upon that. But the first way is to identify your gift. So ask God and ask others. The second one is once you've identified your gift, this is how we build God's house, is to participate with your gift. Don't be the arm that just comes along, if you know what I mean. Just start to function. Start to exercise that gift. Get involved in church. Volunteer. You know what's amazing about this church? Last year, we had a volunteer thank you, and we had more than 100 volunteers. Isn't that amazing? More than 100 volunteers finding a place somewhere where they can live their gift. My heart is that every member would be a volunteer. That we all function in some way. So that God would be glorified. Then we need to work together. You must come with us and work together in unity. That's another aspect of building God's house. There is structure, there is order, there is a place, and together we form something. We go somewhere. So first identify your gift, then participate in that gift or activate that gift, live that gift. And then thirdly, do it together. Don't do it outside of the body. There are so many beautiful Christians that are not part of a church. It is so sad. And I'm not saying they must all be part of our church. No, within the bigger schemes, we might be an ear or an eye. We are not the whole body. Shofar is not the whole body. We just, I don't know what we are. But whatever we are, we're just trying to be the best of what we are. Whether we are eye or an ear or a nose, it doesn't matter. But you know what's the saddest thing is for Christians to be outside of the body of Christ. It's like having a relationship with the head, but you want to do nothing with the body. How sad is that? Jesus calls us together as imperfect with all our issues and stuff. He calls us the bride. It is his heart. The church is his heart. He's coming back for his church. And then there's some Christians who say, I will not be part of that. It's so sad. So if you have friends that is outside of the church, encourage them. Find a church is one of the great things about having so many different churches. There's something for everyone. Find a church. But be part. Work with people, not against people. So that we can do what God has called us within our churches. If you're an eye church, then be the best eye you possibly can. Stop condemning the nose church. They noses. That's why they're together. But we must learn to work together. That's what I love about this town. Of all the places that I've been involved in church, this is one of the best communities within the churches. We tend to work together. We love one another. We're not suspicious of one another. We actually try to work together. And watch this space. We'll do much more together. And then lastly, practically, do it in love. Do it in love. What God has called you to be it together in love. Because that's who God is. God is love. And if we cannot serve together in love, we're not reflecting Him. That's what we're called to do. So it's not just the way I do as unto Him in love, but also how I do it with the people next to me in love. Because in all things, may we reflect Him. In the way we serve, in the way we go, in the way we speak, so that He can receive the glory. May no man take the glory for what God is doing. But may He always be glorified in everything. That is the purpose of the body. So, there are many ways you can get involved. I'm not going to speak about that. We don't have time. But the question is, whose house are you building? And are you willing? Will you consider to build God a house? With you. He has made you the way you are. And He loves you for it. Please don't try and change. And I'm not talking about your own old sinfulness. I'm talking about who you are in Christ. He wants you to be. So be. So, I'm going to conclude. My time's running out and it's very hot in here. So, we're going to conclude with communion. So, if the ushers can take up communion. And then I'm going to pray. And I don't want anybody to leave, please, before we do that. Communion is very special because there's something very powerfully spiritually that happens when we partake together. That's why we wait for one another, because we're all part of one another in the same body. And we take the body of Christ and we remember not only what He has done for us on Christ, on the cross, through brokenness, through becoming sin for us, taking all our sin, all our shame, all our guilt upon Himself, and was punished on our behalf so that we can be free, so that He works leads us to salvation, not our own works, so that we can enter into kingdom by grace because of His works, not my own. We not only remember, we participate together in remembering, in declaring that God, this is a testimony. This is a testimony of my faith in You, my trust in You, And I declare that because of your works, I am free. It is so powerful. Jesus says, this is my body. Take, eat it. We are the body of Christ. How powerful it is today as we speak about unity and becoming the body of Christ. And then there's the cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed for us. This is the new covenant that we've been washed by, cleansed by. We've become a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. You have become a chosen generation. A chosen nation. Some translation says it, a chosen race. It sounds politically incorrect, but you've been born again. You are a new creation through faith in the sacrifice of Christ. And as we partake together, we also identify that we've been chosen together to be together, to reflect who He is. So we're going to partake as we reflect and we say, God, thank you for the way to enter into your kingdom. God, I want to be a living stone. In response of what you've done, I want to be. But I'm not going to pray this prayer over you. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And I want you to pray with them. Because remember, my role here is to equip you for the work of the ministry. I can't do all the ministry. I must equip you to do it. So this morning we're going to do it a bit differently. I want you to pray to a person next to you. You can pick who they are. But I want you to partake with somebody next to you. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And then I want you to pray with one another and share with one another. And if you don't know the person, introduce yourself. And then I want you to pray a blessing over that person. Bless that person. Say, God, I pray that you will bless this person with the gift that he is. That you'll open his eyes to see, Lord, that you will make him to become. So that together we can build your house, build your church. So that together we can be who you want us to be in this world. Can we do that? Okay. So, I'm just going to wait. We're just going to wait for everybody. Okay. Does everybody have bread? Anybody that still needs bread? Here we go. We need some bread here in front. Anybody else that needs some bread? Everybody has a cup? Anybody need there at the back? We need a cup at the back. There's a whole block there at the back. Okay, everybody ready at the back? Awesome. So now I want you to turn to somebody. Find somebody if you're not next to somebody. Quickly, let's do that. Find somebody. You can be 3-3 as well. If you can't be 2-2, that's fine. But find somebody. I'll be with you, my love. This lady is taken. So I want you to pray for one another and serve one another through communion. So you thank Jesus for his body that was broken for you and the sacrifice that he has made. And you thank him for the blood that was shed that cleanses you and sets you free and ushers you into a new covenant, a new identity. You thank him for that. And after you thank and after you've ate and after you had something to drink, you partook in his body and in his blood, you pray a blessing over that person. Over their identity, over who God has made them to be. And you speak life over every gift in them. Can we do that? Okay, let's go. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father, for making me part of your body. Father, thank you for the privilege. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for picking me out of this world. Even though I didn't deserve it, God, you washed me clean. Thank you for the privilege to be part of your church, part of your body. Lord, my desire is to be an active part of your church by serving and promoting unity and sharing my faith with others. God, I pray that you will help me, that you will give me the opportunity to be a living stone that brings honor to your name, prepared for every good work, that when you desire to use me, you can. Lord, I present myself to you. Lord, we want to present ourselves to you, Lord, as living stones. And God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and place each and every one of us where you want us to be, so that we may reflect you in this town, so that people may see you, experience you as we leave this place, and when we come together, even more so, because they know that you are here. In Jesus' name, may you be glorified. Amen.